Oops. Hey, how you doing? I decided that since last week I needed to stand behind a barrier to protect me. I got threatening emails and phone calls and all that great stuff, and I just said, it's okay, come on. It'll work. We're continuing the series. If you haven't guessed, this looks a lot like the fence that I grew up with at my grandfather's place, my grandparents' place. And we're continuing this fences series. We're talking about the chain link fence, which is a pretty unique fence in and of itself. Keeps little critters in. When I was a kid, you know, it's like, oh, you try to climb it, and then you'd get to the top and you'd straddle it, and then being a boy, you'd quickly get off it after you pinched yourself a few times up here on these little things there, and it's like, oh my goodness. And so you didn't go near it until you could fully scale it quickly and get over it. But what's neat about this chain link fence and what it reminds me of is it reminds me of being neighborly. As I recall and remember my parents, as well as my grandparents, leaning over the fence with cups of coffee, or actually my grandfather, being Italian, it was glasses of wine that he had made, his Dago Red, and for my dad it might have been a beer or something like that, as they were just kind of talking to the neighbors about stuff that was going on in the neighborhood. Our next door neighbor showing my dad his brand new automatic machine gun that he just got. I kid you not, dead serious. It was awesome. I'll never forget when the FBI showed up at our house before he got it, because they were, you know, talking to neighbors and that kind of stuff, and they wanted to know about this guy that lived next door, you know, needing this automatic weapon. It's like, I want to get in his will for that one. That's what I said as a young kid even then. It's like, oh, can I just shoot it once? But that was me. But what's funny is that in this fence series up until this point, when we started on Easter, we looked at the Great Wall and how that totally blocks us from God and what that's all about. And then Kevin talked about the privacy fence and how that privacy fence, we wall ourselves off, and it's kind of like the secretive stuff to some degree that goes on in our lives, as well as walling ourselves off from the reality of what's happening around us. And then last week, I talked about the barbed wire fence, in how we wrap ourselves in this barbed wire and we end up cutting and injuring those closest to us as well as others, and we wonder why we can never get close to anybody. And then this week we're looking at the chain link fence. And what's funny is that the other fences that we've looked at have all been negative ones, ones that we've said that we want to get away from, we want to move and walk around. Whereas I'd like to suggest that this fence is a positive one, and it's one that we want to live behind. Because it's about connecting, as each one of these things here is interconnected. This fence is about us connecting with other people. But more importantly, with us connecting with God and the plan and the purpose that He has for you and me. And how important that is. And how vital that is to our lives. So no, it's not just that you might throw bottles and cans, or we're the good old boys band from the Blues Brothers, or, you know, whatever, but, you know, someone had suggested, do you mind if we do that? I said, no problem, but what comes this way also goes back. So have at it. You see, the thing is that instead of thinking about ourselves, which we typically do very, very easily, instead of thinking about ourselves and our family and just what's going on there, we really need, and what this fence says is that we need to think about other people. We need to think outside of ourselves. We need to really put that into practice instead of just, you know, how that is. And this scripture here in Acts chapter 1 puts it in perspective for us. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it wasn't by mistake that he shared that. You know, and what's great about the church is that we always talk about the power of the Spirit, but the problem is we try to lock them up inside the building. The power of the Spirit today is in the streets. And the problem is that we as the church, and not just us, but the church of the United States, is keeping it in the Holy of Holies apart from everyone else. When we're being told that we need to go out in the streets. Jesus is telling us that we need to be neighborly. We need to reach across the fence to someone else and be the power of that Spirit to that individual. And yet as the church, we meet and we gather hoping that the power of God is going to fall on us, when in effect the power of God's in the streets. I'm not saying He's not here. I'm just getting us to think a little bit. Let's think outside the box. Let's think beyond what we thought. The power of God's here, and you know why it's here? So that we'll go out there with it. That's what we have to remember. That's what we have to see. You see, God gives each of us a mission or a plan to follow. And it starts by us first and foremost reaching up to God, that we're in a relationship with Him through His Son Jesus, who died and rose again for us. But then as a result of that, we just don't keep it to ourselves. Your faith is a personal thing, but it needs to become a public thing. Because for far too long in our country, we've kept it private. And if what I believe about the Scriptures, I don't even have a Bible here, and if I hold this up, you think I'm holding up a phone and someone's going to fine me $25. But our thoughts about the Scripture, yes, I have the Bible right there. It's on there, okay? Thank you.
You can read through the colors.
Yeah. It's a good thing I'm partially colorblind. Anyways, the idea here is that the Scripture reminds us that we got to do something different. Because if what I say I believe in this book isn't translating itself in how I live my lives at work and everything else, then let's throw this away and stop playing, because that's all we're doing is playing. And really, that's what Jesus criticized the church the most for, was that the fact that they played with it. And we're being told that we need to quit playing with it. Because this is for keeps. It's a life and death deal. And we need to see it that serious. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. For quite a few people today will be their last day. I'm not saying anyone here. I'm just saying for people in general, because we know X amount of people die every single day. God help me. And yet what Jesus was saying was that you need to be a witness or an ambassador for me. You need to let your faith and trust in me come out and share it with other people. Starting with your Jerusalem, where you live. For some of us, that's our own homes, and we need to begin there because we've trashed our houses. We've trashed our marriages. For others of us, it might be the workplace, because we say that we're a follower of Jesus, but we act like we're a follower of Satan. They can't tell the difference. And then it needs to spread from there, our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and literally to the ends of the earth. And we forget that. We all have a role to play. We all have a role to play in this. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said this in Matthew 5, "You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." So in essence, he's saying, you're the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. And our responsibility as the salt of the earth, why are we the salt of the earth? Because we're trusting in Jesus, and He's the one that's made us salty. And so as the salt of the earth, we are to flavor the lives of those around us. You know, whether you're adding a dash of salt or knocking it up a few notches, kicking it up a few notches with some garlic, or maybe you're really into the habaneros. You know, you can spice it up with folks as much as you want, I guess. But our lives are to flavor others, because we're reflectors of Jesus who died for us, who we say that we're trusting in. And then he continues, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father instead of cursing him. Why is it that we end up being like the first guy in the video saying, it's what my heart told me. And you know, the Bible says I can do whatever's in my heart. You know, God helps those who help themselves. That's in the scripture. Thank you. It's not. And we end up seemingly looking ridiculous to someone else. Because it's like, wait a second. Are you really that dense for real, or did you lose half your picnic lunch? And what I love about this whole salt of the earth thing that Jesus talks about, you know, that we're light, that we're to illuminate the darkness. In Psalm 119, verse 105, we're told that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And now Jesus is saying that we are the light to other people's path. So in essence, what he's saying is we are the scriptures come alive. Did you hear that? You and I are the scriptures come alive to someone else who doesn't know God. And so that we illuminate God's truth into their life by the way we live our lives, by the way we carry ourselves, by the way we act. And talking about last week, by the way we deal with problems. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the truth of the matter is it probably isn't always like that, is it? Reminds me of that song that we started out with this morning. Shine. That song has been running through my head for 3 or 4 weeks. And it is just so powerful. You know, I want to shine for you, be a light to this world, to let the whole world know that you are King. You know, that's a prayer. And that should be the prayer of every follower of Christ. You know, and the verse of that song is even that much more powerful. I want to live life like you did. I want to be just like you. But see, most of us are saying, no, that's not what my heart's saying. Checkmate. There's a disconnect there. I think God's calling us to something different than what our heart's saying. What does the scripture say about our heart? It's full of evil. We can't trust it. Because we're going to feel something, and because I feel it, I have to do it. How'd that work out for you when you lived through the 60s? Not too good, did it? Some of us are still living through the consequences of that nightmare. And then the final phrase of like that second verse of that song is, you know, I want to be closer to you. I think that's the heartthrob of every follower of Jesus, except we have a hard time putting that into practice. We really have a hard time, you know, living that out. And really that, this particular song, which I've been acquainted with for some time now, has been a song, as a matter of fact, last year when we drove down to Miami to get on a cruise ship and there was a bunch of people with us in the car, I was playing that CD incessantly. And people are like, oh my gosh, don't you own another CD? Yes, I do. But I just have to listen to this. You know, and so, that's what I've been striving for over 30 years to move towards, to be that, and serving God and striving to be like Jesus and striving to live across the fence in other people's lives. And then I get this strange idea 2 years ago, and last summer I sit down with Kevin and him and I talk, and I talk with the other pastors and talk with the elders and directors and all this stuff about me reaching my hand over to people who are disconnected from the church and doing some ministry very differently than I have been doing it, to love them like Jesus does. And, you know, God said to me that I'm to be a light in a dark world. And that's what I'm to do. And so it brought me to that point. And so what I want to focus on, and, you know, just today as we finish all this up, is how can we live life behind this chain link fence and make that a very positive thing? And the first thing that we have to do is we've got to follow God's plan. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, I don't think. Not follow our plan, not listen to our heart, checkmate, but follow God's plan for us. And it's one of the first obstacles that every Christ follower comes up against. Do I want to do what God wants me to do? Of course I do. But I'm going to live it out my way. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. You know, the plan that I have for me instead of God's plan for me. And this plan that God has for each one of us is shown in two small statements that Jesus made. The first one in Luke 19, where it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." That was the first statement of purpose, where it kind of, right, he set up and said, "This is what I'm about. Let's not be confused." But then the second phrase, now he's turning it for us in John 20. Where he says, and again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." What's he sending us to do? Seek and save the lost. Or to be a light, to be salt to those around us. That's what he's leading us to do. And this is a question that I continue to try to ask God on a daily basis. Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I moving in the direction, God, that you want me to move? And it's so hard to ask that question, and it's more importantly difficult to wait for the answer. And I believe that those scriptures are just a great reminder of what our mission and our plan really should be. In light of living life here, I've got to be focused on this. So my question is, are you really following God's plan for you? Or are you on your own plan? Are you really? The second thing that I think we need to do if we're going to live behind the chain link fence is we've got to learn how to listen to God. We have to listen to God. You know, it's one thing to try to follow God's plan. It's another thing to talk to God, which we did a whole series on the whole prayer thing. But it's an entirely different thing to listen to God. And we need to do it continually as we move forward. Because it's so easy to fall in that place of comfort and complacency and, oh, I love my fence. Oh, well, don't get too close, though. I don't want you to mess up the nice job here. Stay back. And that's how I was. I thought I had it all figured out. You know, I've been driving this ministry bus for almost 21 years now. And I knew that loving Jesus was what I had to focus on, and leading others to Him was important. But I got to be honest, I stopped listening because I figured I had it all figured out. I figured I knew what that meant, and it doesn't mean that I was in sin or anything like that. It's just I wasn't following God's best for me the way He wired me. Listening, that still small voice. It was just meant that instead of living out God's plan for me, I was living out my plan for me. In Deuteronomy 30, it slapped me in the face where it says this, "Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him." You see, we're being directed to listen to God. And the reality is that God will speak to us. I heard God the first time when I was just a teenager, a young teenager, actually. And the words were, you're going into ministry. Okay. And then I did what I wanted. And that was the early 70s, and it wasn't until the mid 80s that I heard God again real clearly, and it was because I was taking the time to listen. God's not going to fight with the things that are competing for our attention. And it was, you need to prepare for ministry. I got something I want you to do. And so I worked at it with a passion to do that and began moving forward. And then in 88, it's when I jumped in. Full steam. Following what God wants me to do and I've tried to make it a practice. And I haven't been perfect on this. But I've tried to listen to God and that. And what He wants me to do. And then in 91, I heard God say, you need to focus on people who don't know me. And so I left my secure church and started a church and all that stuff. And for people who are not connected to God. And then I heard God again in 2005, and when Kevin and I were having lots of talks, he said, hey, put your churches together because we can do more. And I believed it, and I know Kevin believed it. We still believe it. It's the right thing to do. It doesn't mean that it hasn't been without pain. There's been lots of pain. And the two biggest pains are probably us. Preach it. Your side's coming. Just a minute. It's down here somewhere. No. Just... Just kidding. It's not really in there yet. The Holy Spirit might say something. But then in 2007, I heard God again. Say, it's time to take what I've put in your hands and reach people. And I fought that, and I didn't want to listen to it. And then I prayed over it, cried about it, and all that. And so finally, I talked to Kevin about it. And you were. I wasn't real happy either. You know, and the direction is there's lots of people who will never darken the door of a church. And for some crazy reason, I don't know why, I feel very comfortable talking to people like that. And hanging out with them. And whether it's having a coffee, a Coke, a beer, it doesn't matter. I don't care. And so that direction from that conversation with God and subsequent conversations is leading me back in the marketplace. Where I'll no longer be full-time paid staff in a church, but I'll be full-time paid staff in a brewery. That right now I'm currently working a couple days a week at. As a matter of fact, as soon as I leave here, I gotta leave. And I gotta tell you, that's been a painful thing for me. You know, because I got that bittersweet deal going on. But it's listening to God. My question to you is, can you hear Him now? Are you really taking the time to listen? Or are you doing all the talking? Because God wants to speak to you about the stuff in your life. He wants us to live through this chain link fence and connect with other people. And He wants us to follow His plan. He wants us to listen to Him. The third thing, He wants us to touch others. Reaching out and being that salt and light that Jesus talked about. Doing it instead of waiting for the perfect time. And that's what we do. We wait for the perfect time. I need to pray about it. The timing of God is crucial. The perfect time is never going to be here. We have to take the time God gives us. And I only have this moment. I only have today. I only have this breath that God's given me. I'm not guaranteed another one. And so I have to make use of the breaths that God gives me. We all need to make use of it. I don't know about you, but I believe this is true, that like me, you want to hear those words when we finally leave this place and we're face to face with God. Well done, good and faithful servant. But it'll only happen if we make the most of every opportunity, as the scripture reminds us. If we do those things that God wants us to do, to reach out over the fence and touch the hearts and lives of people. instead of doing it our way. Take what God's put in your hands and watch. Watch as you give it to Him what He does with that. We all have stuff going on in our lives. We all have difficulties. I know a person right now who has colon cancer. Used to be part of our church back there, but she moved to the Las Vegas area with her business and all that. She has colon cancer. Is not doing well. And yet, she's using it as an opportunity to reach people. So even in her state of not feeling well and the chemo and radiation and all that other stuff, it's like, wait a second, this is all God's glory. And that's how we have to see our lives. God can use us with messed up marriages and messed up families and messed up selves, messed up jobs and finances and health and all that other stuff. And we're to give to God what we have because we only have the moment. And that's the part of being able to rejoice in everything. That God can use me no matter where I'm at. I don't have to have it all together because I never will. We need to touch others. And I think of Isaiah 52 where it says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And that's literally what we do with our lives as we are salt and light, as we reach over the chain link fence into someone else's life. And just a quick story here. In this brewery, I met this young guy. He's going to be 21 at the end of this month. And in February, he came home from college. He was going to Western. He came home from college because his mom's dying of cancer. And he was just telling me the story. I mean, we just happened to be there together, and he was just telling me the story. And he goes, Jeff, he goes, you know, this is just so hard. I said, I know it sucks. I know it doesn't make sense. I said, I'm sorry. He said, but what you don't understand is when I was a senior in high school, my dad died of lung cancer. And now my sister's a senior in high school. And it doesn't look like mom's going to be here much longer. I said, Mike, I'm sorry. The only thing that I can offer you is I'm going to pray for her and for you and your family. Because I know God can do something. But even if He chooses not to, He's still in charge and He's watching over you. And that just, as much as I didn't, two Wednesdays ago, as much as I didn't want to drive, as I'm driving that place, it's like I'm fighting everything inside of me because I've got the excitement on one side. But on the other side, it's like, no, this just doesn't make sense. But God, because you said so, I'm going to do it. And see, that's it. It's that it's not convenient. It's not what we want. It's not always the desire of our heart when God gives us opportunity. But it's just obedience to what God says, do it. Because He knows better than I do. And He knows better than all of us collectively. And as I'm driving there, yeah, I've got an hour, 20 minute drive, whatever it is. And I got this crazy worship CD on. That song right there. I want to shine for you, and I'm bawling like a baby going, but God, this doesn't make any sense to me. And He puts Mike in my life. And then He puts this gal, Karen, who oversees all of the retail for this brewery. And she said, you know, 4 years ago I came to this place, and I don't know why I came here, but I just felt it was God. And after I got here, I realized nobody here really is following God. And she said, and now you show up. I think you're supposed to help me. What? I said, maybe we need to sample some more beer. No, just kidding. I'm kidding. I did not say that. So my question to you is, who are you reaching? There's a line there. Or more importantly, who's in your life that you should be reaching? Write their name down. Yeah. Write their name down. The fourth thing about living from behind this is we need to watch the boundaries. It's so easy to the boundaries that distract us and detract us from what God wants us to do. And we can mess this up. As a matter of fact, being in the church, as long as I've been in the church professionally, after 21 years, am I really a professional? I still don't act professional. I mean, I try to find scripture verses to offend you. What's up with that? I don't know why God does, why I'm wired that way. I'm not going to blame God. It's me. But the first thing, the first boundary is we need to keep ourselves in check. And I've watched and seen in the church my own life struggling with that. The most important thing when it comes to faith is your connection to God. First. And then your family. Second. And your world. And then your church body. Now that's not popular because in the church we want, oh, we need your help with stuff. But you know what the funny thing is if we all did a little something, we wouldn't have to kill people to do lots of stuff. But the sad fact is that the church applauds pastors who sacrifice their families for the church. And I'm tired of doing that myself and watching this guy over here do the same thing. I'm tired of talking to him till I'm blue in the face. Take your frickin' day off. But I'll keep doing it because he's my friend. And see, we got to remember those boundaries. We have to remember those boundaries because if all of a sudden it's all for this thing over here, and us OCD and ADD pastors, we do that. Oh, it's all for the ministry. So I have to work over here. I have to do this. No one's doing this, so I got to pick it up and I have to do it. Oh, but honey, you know, we've got an appointment or this. I'm sorry, I'm working at the church. Stop it. Kevin? Jeff? Mike? John? And the rest of us. Stop it. My question to you is, does God have your heart? Does He really have your heart? Because if He doesn't, the rest doesn't make sense. God needs to have your heart first and foremost. And then there's the area of boundaries when we're interacting with people. And we got to be careful not to try to impose on someone else what God's working in me. Hello? I can't impose it on someone else. And I certainly can't now all of a sudden become the moral compass for that person's life that I need to direct and tell them how they have to live their life. Every step of the way. Wait a minute, you're living together? You must move out. Now, we know that that's not a good situation to have. But we need to be careful that we're now not the moral police in someone's life. Lest we forget that's the Holy Spirit's job. And it has been for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this in John 16, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He's been at it for thousands of years, and He's very good at it, and He doesn't need us meddling. Amen. Now, someone asks us a question that's a little bit different. But we got to be careful of those boundaries and stepping over them. Because they'll detract us. There was a time when, in Jesus' own life, when, you know, he's saying, hey, who do people say that I am? When Peter, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, dude, that's my paraphrase. Wow, you've been hearing from God. That's awesome. And on my church, I will build on that Rocky-like statement. I'll build my church. But then it's not hardly a little bit later, a couple of verses in Scripture. Jesus saying, I need to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter's like, whoa, 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 time out. Woo! Hold on, Lord. No. No! If they all flee, no. And Jesus looks at him and says, get behind me, Satan. You see, there are distractions and boundaries and things that happen that will deter us from what God's called us to do. And we need to call it as we see it. We need to remember that these things exist. We need to be careful not to boundary step into someone else's life. But also not to allow some well-meaning people to boundary step into our lives when we're moving in the direction that God wants us to move. Now, the trouble is discerning all of that. Because I have welcomed conversation from people who say, what is it you're doing? I welcome that. So please, don't be afraid to talk to me about it. It's okay. God will continue to guide and direct us as we're looking to Him. God will continue to lead us and show us the way to go as we're trusting in Him. You know, and it's just so vital. It's vital that we follow God's plan. It's vital that we listen and take time to listen to God. So I'd be given 2 ears and 1 mouth so that we would listen twice as much as we speak. The mouth has a trap. The ears are wide open. We can shut the mouth. The ears, we're supposed to always hear. That would work just great in marriage, wouldn't it? In other words, shut your pie hole and listen to your spouse. That's it. Don't try to fix them. Just listen. And then we need to reach across the fence and touch other people and be that salt and be that light. But then we have to do it remembering the important boundaries. And remembering that God's in control and remembering that God's continuing to direct us. My question to you is, what needs to change for you? What needs to change as you look at your life? As you look at, you know, this isn't about a guilt trip. It's about us waking up to the truth of what God wants us. It's about allowing God's Spirit to impress things on our heart and then begin to work those things out in our lives. Instead of getting weird about it, instead of taking, you know, please, let's not navel gaze for years and years about this, but let's just talk to God and begin to move. But what do you need to do differently in your life as it relates to all of this? Mark it down, write it down, think about it. Put something down so that it'll jog your memory as you're thinking this week, as you're praying about it. Make a note of what you're sensing God is impressing on you right now about all of this. What is He saying to you today? Because looking at it is the beginning of starting to accomplish it. And that's what God wants. God wants us to live behind the chain link fence. Because it's about connecting. It's about being neighborly. It's about us being salt and light to other people. He wants us, in summary, to follow His plan, to listen to Him, to touch others, and to remember the boundaries. Watch out for those. Keep your heart close to His, trusting in Jesus every step of the way. Let's pray. Father, we have a hard time with this, God, because we so confuse what we want to do and what You want to do, and we just ask that You help us. Help us to really figure this out, and I just ask that You speak to us loudly enough where we can hear it and get a sense. And then give us the courage to begin the process of acting on it. Or at least checking it out by asking others that we trust that are full of faith in Your Spirit. And God, help us to live behind this fence and to be salt and light to those that You've placed in our lives. And show us who maybe it's already there that we need to reach out to or that we've been ignoring it. Put a fire under our fanny, God. Amen. You light fires in our hearts all the time, but now it's time to light one under our rear ends. Yes. So Jesus, we ask that You lead us, that You direct us. We want to live life like You did because we want to be just like You. In Your name we pray. Amen.